Today we are going to continue considering the nature and duties of Christian stewardship in the light of the scriptures that we've been given by the church. We began this last week sort of ironically with the example of a bad steward, actually, that unjust steward in the gospel last week, and considering the obligation that we have for all that has been entrusted to us by God to make a return to Him for His glory and for the good of souls as good Christian stewards. And our gospel today also provides us with very rich reflection about this parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, sometimes called Dives, I don't know if you've ever read, that's just the Latin word for rich, but it's interesting in this story. We know the poor man's name, but not the rich one. And we see this situation that develops with this rich man, passing from this world and entering into torment because of, frankly, of his lack of fidelity as a steward of what God has entrusted to him. It's not just simply that, well, the rich man is bad because he's rich and the poor man is good because he's poor. Being rich and poor are not in and of themselves moral categories, actually. But certainly what the rich man did, or frankly in his case, failed to do with his wealth is why he ended up in torment. And so it gives us lessons for us to consider. Because I know all of you sitting here in this church want to be good stewards of what God has given to you. You know, there are plenty of other things you could have thought of to do this Sunday morning, I imagine, if you had wanted to. You obviously have this desire to respond to the love of God in your lives with love of Him and love of neighbor, obviously. And so we need to think about how we live this out, practically speaking. And I think this gospel is very important to us. You know, the rich man is not, it never doesn't say anywhere in this gospel that the rich man ever did anything bad to Lazarus. It doesn't say that Lazarus was poor because the rich man had cheated him out of something, or it doesn't say that when the rich man came out of his house and saw Lazarus sitting at the gate that he gave him a kick or anything like that. It just says that he never even noticed him. It's really much more about what the rich man failed to do rather than what he did. And instead of noticing and taking seriously his obligation to use the blessings that God had given to him to glorify God and to bless his neighbor, like this poor man sitting at his gate. Instead, it says, he was pretty self-absorbed. He liked to hang out with his friends and have these big fancy dinners, wear fancy clothes, all this sort of thing, and just pretty much was self-absorbed. And that really gets down to the very crux of the moral life. It basically becomes a struggle and a choice in our lives between making a gift of ourselves, self-donation, how we choose to give ourselves away in imitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, or being self-absorbed, being about ourselves and looking after ourselves. That's the great struggle of the spiritual life. And like we talked about yesterday, you cannot serve two masters. You can't be looking out for good old number one and make a gift of yourself. It's impossible. You cannot serve those two masters. I heard one time somebody talking about we all know about the Holy Trinity, right? Of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Somebody talking about the unholy Trinity, which is me, myself, and I. That's the unholy Trinity. Being absorbed in ourselves. That's what was wrong with this rich man. And it was demonstrated in his life among other ways, by what he did or failed to do with his riches, with what God had given him. And we have those same kind of decisions to make in our own lives. He basically was living an unexamined life. He was living a life without intentionality, except maybe for the intention of fulfilling his own desires. And this is something that's not an option for us as Christians, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I have come to serve, not to be served." And as his disciples, that has to be our position as well. I have come to serve and not to be served. If that had been the principle that the rich man operated on, he would not be in that place of torment. He would have noticed Lazarus and probably many other people and seen many other things that he could have done for the glory of God and for the good of souls. And so that's another lesson in this gospel, is that, you know, there is a time limit on all of this. And we have to decide and we have to act now, not sometime later, because we don't know if there is a later. We need to do so now. I had an opportunity here one time. I'm not really a big groupie kind of person or whatever, but if I were a groupie of somebody, it would be this woman. I had an opportunity to hear one time at back when I was doing campus ministry. There's a wonderful organization in the church nationally, well, even internationally now, called the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, that's often known by its acronym, FOCUS. And they have these great, gigantic conferences every year, usually around New Year's, you know, when the college students are out of school and can come to these. And one year, one of these big national conferences was actually at the Opryland Hotel, and it was while I was still doing that sort of work. And there were, you know, 10, 12,000 college students there, and the most gigantic ballroom of the gigantic ballrooms they have at Opryland Hotel. And one of the keynote speakers, it was this woman, again, I'm sort of a groupie of hers. Her name is Helen Alvarez. She is, of all things, a lawyer. Believe it or not, you can be a groupie of a lawyer, but I am. Anyhow, that she, for many years, she was the spokesperson for the Catholic bishops of the United States on pro-life issues. She's really a brilliant scholar. She's a law professor in a law school. She's also a really good speaker. She's very funny, self-deprecating, person who's kind of neat to listen to. But here she had this giant ballroom filled with these thousands of college students and giving one of the keynote addresses at this event. And I remember basically her thesis could have been brought down to two words. That's how you can tell a good talk, if you can sum it up in about two words. And this was hers: everything matters. Everything matters. Everything matters. Like we were talking about last week in terms of stewardship, what you do with your time matters. What you do with your talents matters. What you do with your treasure matters. Everything matters. Even matter matters. A lot of people think matter doesn't matter. Oh yes, matter matters. It does. Everything matters. And this is another nice pithy little line from a saint who's very good at pithy little lines, actually. If you want to go read some really pithy, punchy things, go look up St. Jose Maria Escrivá and read up some of his things. This is one of his. Love is in the details. Love is in the details. Or another one of his: love does not consist in sweet words, but in hard deeds. It's got to get down to reality. And our Christian discipleship and our Christian stewardship has to get down to reality, you know, to actual reality in our lives. To what, am I going to do this or am I going to do that? Am I going to spend my time in this way or in that way? Am I going to use my money in this way or in that way? And if it doesn't get down to that, if you don't think those kind of decisions matter, then go listen to Helen Alvarez. Because everything matters. Everything matters. And so for us to make these decisions to be good stewards of our time, to give back to God really that most precious gift he gives us is our, you know, our time, that our life in time, in this world, and to that will lead us to eternity, to use it to get there, which means we need to get to know him. We have to pray, and we have to practice the sacramental life of the church so that, for example, you are here every single Sunday without fail, no matter what. That you come to confession regularly, that you go and pray to God and open your heart to him every single day so that you know and love and serve him. Because you really can't love or serve a stranger, really. You certainly can't love one, you know. And so to get to know him, to be able to use your talents for the love of God and for the love of neighbor. You know, we have all sorts of ways you can do that here in this parish and many, many other ways. But I think as a part of the mystical body of Christ here, we need to make some of those commitments right here in this place, in this parish. And finally, also how we use the treasure that God has entrusted us. Are we intentional about that? You know, like, do we, you know, like with your time, you need to keep a calendar. With your money, you need to keep a budget. You know, you need to know what these things are for and to make sure that they're being used according to the love and law of God. I want to help you with that. We have these sheets of to make a commitment in stewardship. They're there on the back tables. They're there for you to take if you'd like to this week. I'll give you other opportunities as well. I'd really rather have you not just take it and put something down real quickly and turn it in. I'd really like to have you take it. This was really kind of put together with a lot of thought and prayer. I'd like for you to maybe take it and consider it with those ideas that what I do matters. That was the big mistake that the rich man made in the gospel today. He thought it didn't matter that he just indulged himself. He thought, yeah, I can do with my time and my money and my talents just pretty much whatever pleases me. Well, like I said, that didn't end so well with him. And I know you don't want to be like that. You wouldn't be here otherwise. The love of God is in your hearts. And so let it get down to the details, because that's where love really shows itself. It shows itself in the details. In those hard deeds and not just sweet words. And to remember, like my friend Helen Alvarez says, everything matters.